Hello and welcome to We the People. In many ways, this is an existential question. Should the right to life include the right to die? At least the right to die with dignity. It's a debate that divides public opinion and the medical community sharply down the middle. Many public health activists say that to permit euthanasia of any kind is just another excuse for a state that cannot deliver a public health system that works. So on the program today, we're debating in what circumstances the right to die or euthanasia should be permitted. Let me start first by getting a medical perspective. If I can start with you, Dr. Nagaraj, as a senior oncologist, you have seen many life-threatening situations up close. Yet, Dr. Nagaraj, you have campaigned quite often for the right of people to die. As a doctor, doesn't this go against the medical ethos?
Not really. First of all, there are a couple of issues when you talk of euthanasia or mercy killing. Firstly, mercy killing, as I've said earlier, is a misnomer. And when you talk of euthanasia, there's a very important issue of autonomy. Whose life is it? Is it mine? Does that belong to my wife, my son, my state? I've got to have the right to exercise total control on my body and my being. That's a very, very important issue which gets glossed over in most debates of euthanasia. And what is dying? I mean, what is death? It's living till the end. And if you keep assisting someone to live well till the end, that's not wrong.
But the crucial phrase is live well. And now, living well can have many different definitions. There may, in fact, tomorrow be somebody who is in abject poverty who says, I don't live well, so let me kill myself.
It's not as complicated as people think. Living well is very simple. I got to be aware of who I am, cognizant, conscious, aware, ambulatory, continent. I mean, these are simple definitions of living well. I'm not talking of having a Lexus car. I'm talking of, you know, all these basic faculties being intact. And when everything fails, another big issue is people think that medical science technology is super. They watch all these robot films and think that medical technology can do just about everything.
They think it'll always be a miracle.
It cannot. We have the limits. So if we understand that science and technology as of today cannot deliver, and we can have a life of ennui and loss of dignity, pain, which is unbearable. I think a doctor with his expertise should assist.
Let me get Dr. Nitesh Rothagi, also a senior oncologist. And it's interesting what Dr. Nagaraj says, because he's saying also science and technology has to acknowledge its own limits. But then there are miracle stories. And every time there's and I use the word miracle responsibly. I don't mean miracle in terms of Jadu Tona. But there are amazing stories of people's fortitude. You've seen it. You've seen it with the Yuvraj Singh. You've seen it with less famous people who do fight back just based on spirit.
We see it on a day-to-day life. I think that's a very important point, that we claim that we are experts and we can recognize the time when this patient cannot survive. But are we really advanced enough to know all the reversible causes from irreversible? I'll give you a very quick example. A patient who actually is in ICU at Max Hospital, where I work at the moment, we had lost all hope that he was unwell. He's a cancer patient. He's got multitude of other problems. But somewhere, I was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
There was somewhere a problem that this man has deteriorated faster than cancer could cause. And we spoke to the family. The family said, we do not want intubation, but if there is a reversible cause, we would want you to go ahead and test for that.
And what happened then?
We did a lumbar puncture. He most likely had viral meningitis, and I got a call while coming to show that he has...
So the diagnosis was something
speaking to me. Yes.
Different from what it turned out to
be? He has a cancer. The cancer is active. It is progressing, but he may still have 4 to 6 months to live.
4 to 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I guess for somebody that's like an eternity who thought he was going to die tomorrow. So two very interesting things have been flagged here. One, and actually both point to the same thing, that doctors are not gods. They can make mistakes. And where it seems irreversible, there can be something that takes place that is reversible. I'll come back to the doctor, but Soli Surabji, legally, if doctors aren't gods nor are judges, now it's left to the judges of this country to adjudicate on matters of life and death. And Justice Kadju, in his most recent judgment, has chosen to uphold the right of passive euthanasia in rare circumstances. And Soli, you've been associated with an earlier case where the Supreme Court said that the right to die is not part of the right to life, which was the Gancor case. So So, Holy Spirit Abji, what do you see as the legal and moral dilemmas here?
Let's be clear, it's not a legal issue.
It's not a legal issue.
This involves social, religious and legal issues in this. One very important question, who is to decide, someone said. That's where it comes in, the autonomy of the patient. To live a life with dignity and with privacy. Of course, the basic condition is that the suffering must be unbearable. It can't be, I was jilted, I'm feeling bad. No, nonsense. Unbearable suffering over a long period of time, and for which, in the present state of medical knowledge, there is no possible prospect of cure. What's the point in saying that, no, we keep him living? Is it life? There's no life. Mm-hmm. Where he can't breathe, where he has to. Now, one case in England where a man said, look, I can't even defecate. I have no privacy. Where these conditions are there, then I think the perception should be different. And when you say judges are deciding, no. Justice Kaju said, please appoint a committee of three doctors, neurologists, psychologists. Then let him present the report to the court, and then the court will decide why safeguard. Because some people, for ignoble reasons, may want the patient to die quickly. It may happen because they think they may inherit well.
Yeah.
Actually, I see no logical distinction between passive and active. Hmm. Because passive also leads to the death of the patient.
Yeah.
Do you remember which movie it was during the Normandy campaign?
Hmm.
One, they were facing attack from Germans. One of them was very badly wounded, one of their own people. They know if they left him, the Germans would torture him and kill him. Hmm. They had to take a very painful decision, to which he agreed. So you see, you have to balance. You can't have a general answer, a universal answer.
But you know, Soli, when we are healthy, we all say that if this ever happened to us, show us mercy by killing us off. But when we are not in the state to take the own decision, and the argument against euthanasia, and by the way, I tend to lean towards allowing euthanasia.
That's
I should disclose my bias up close. Based on that notion that life is only worth living when you can live it with all your faculties intact. But, and there is a complex but here. We say that when we are healthy. We do not know whether the value of life, whether those 4 to 6 months, for example, would feel like a lifetime suddenly when that's all that we have left. And also there's a certain elitism in sitting here and saying, we advocate euthanasia. How many poor people have access to public health? These are some of the questions we want to flag, Dr.
Malka, the right question would be, do we give the right to the person? Not elitist, what we are saying.
So when we
do we give a right to the person concerned? His autonomy.
And autonomy must also include access to health care and then being able to make that choice. But let's hear from somebody who I think has a personal story to share about what we call passive euthanasia. We have Bernadine Pramodaran here from Goa tonight. And Bernadine, your mother
was
90?
She was 90 years old.
Tell us her story.
And she passed away on the 7th of June. 2 months prior to that, her passing away, she was bedridden. And initially, it was, you know, the normal sickness of old age and all the complications attached. A week after that, it turned out to be so bad when she developed bed sores. Now, most of the doctors here, of course, would know what a bed sore is. It's one of, you know, I'd never seen it before. I never lived through it. I'd only heard about it. But that just, it just spread so quickly. And my mom was a nurse. She was with Bombay Hospital and quite a few of the places in Bombay. She also was aware of me joining up SRDD.
Society
for the Right to Die with Dignity.
Yeah.
And at a time like that, when it became unbearable because she couldn't move, my son and me had to actually, you know, the 1, 2, 3, and then move her onto her side to be able to clean.
And had she ever said to you, when she was better, that if this happens to me...
She did.
In
fact, that was a common talk in the family as I grew up. It was, when I get old and if I'm ever in, you know, a coma, stuff like that, please don't put me on a ventilator. And things got so bad where she actually started asking me. And telling me. Now, this was something I couldn't talk out loud to anybody. Because, you know, you're always scared of what people think, what people talk back. So this was just in the family with my husband and me, knowing that she kept asking every time I cleaned her. Because, as you said, she used to just defecate. And it was so embarrassing for her, you know, to have to be cleaned up. I am her daughter. Mm. She knew I loved her. But that dignity, what we are fighting for... Oops. You know, you could see it in her eyes.
What would she say to you?
She'd cry. You know, all I would see is this couple of tears roll down every time I had to clean her. It was, say, 4 or 5 times a day. And when she turned around saying, like, just give me something. That was a time where, you know, the love, and you want to do what's right and wrong. You can't really. And that was when Dr. Surendra Dalia, he was a little rock for me, because he just kept telling me, Bernie, it's not legalized. There's nothing we can do about it. Now, you're living through this whole scenario, and you're saying 5 times a day. She had her senses around her to be wanting to be relieved of that. There was nothing I could do. I had to watch her for 2 weeks
Did you decide at any point to say, I'm just not going to give the medicine anymore?
No, we were just keeping her on painkillers, which she stopped taking because she'd push it under her tongue. And after a given point of time when no one was watching, she'd just quietly take it out and throw it away. She had kind of just, I mean, there was nothing left in her eyes. And the only hope I saw every time we went to clean her up was, darling, just let
Release
me go.
Me from
just
this.
Just give me something. And, you know, it was just change the subject and, you know.
And did you ever feel that I can't take life away, it's God's choice?
Honestly, at a moment like that, when you're living through it all, yeah, you come out and, you know, you're praying. I'm praying to God, I'm praying to my dad, I'm praying to everyone that I could think of. It's like, why are you keeping her? Just take her, just take her. It sounds so rude to be asking, you know, of your own mother to go. But, yeah, I actually prayed for her to go.
Reverend Emmanuel, the conservative religious position would be, we are nobody to dispense mercy. There's a force up there. You can, some of us call it God, some of us call it science. Some of us don't know what it is. What would you say to Bernadine? If she had an option, Bernadine, you would have wanted to stop the medication?
If the law permitted it, yeah. I mean, you're talking about the law saying, yes, I'm right legally, that's what she wants, and you have... It's not some decision that would have just been done on the spur of the moment.
Yeah. I'll come one by one. First of all, you began by saying conservative religion. I don't know.
No,
whether
not religion. I said the conservative thought or the response would be that euthanasia should not be permitted at all.
There are certain things which are very fundamental about life. God is the giver of life, and it is He alone who can take it. First thing. Secondly, I would like to just quickly contest what Dr. Nagaraj said earlier, because that puts the things in the context. He said each one has the right to his own life. So are people allowed to commit suicide? Because they have a right, they just think I can't cope with life.
Let him respond to that. I think he meant in a medical way.
I know.
Not that I'm depressed today, me then jump off the building.
Exactly, I'm trying to say that. Because once you grant that principle, that I have the full right over my life and I want to live this way with dignity, but I can't cope with this tension in my life. My wife has given up and she's gone, or my child has committed suicide, so I must also commit suicide. What Bernie is describing, while she's described it emotionally, I really did not find that a time of 2 months with a bed sore was such a serious thing. I do understand, and the church's position is very clear, that you don't have to go extra mile or use extraordinary means to keep a person alive. But in her particular case, I am no one to judge, but a 2 months time with a bed sore...
She didn't know it would be 2 months.
Well...
That is all the more. Okay,
reasons.
I think we'll
I'm not judging anyone.
Yes. Soli, you wanted to say something, and then
after one thing.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 months bed sore, but suppose it was another thing, something which was unbearably painful, and for which there was no, in the state of medical knowledge, any cure. What happens then?
When people meet with very serious accidents, we have no right to
undermine her emotions, which she has expressed publicly.
Yes.
It was
a very brave of her to come and share this.
It was a moment of pain, and we are none of us to say 1 month, 2 months, sit on a judgment. It's very unfair. And to talk of church, Protestant church in Canada has accepted a passive euthanasia. It's only the Catholic Church would say that no.
Let me come in here because there are all kinds of dilemmas, but I think we do take the point that we are nobody to stand in judgment on Bernadine. But Atul Kulkarni, as an actor, as a citizen, interestingly, you play a son to a mother who's actually degenerating. And maybe we can just have a glimpse of some of the dilemmas in this film.
जड झाल्यासारखं वाटतंय म्हणून त्यांना हातपाय हलवता येत नाहीये. डॉक्टर म्हणाले ठणठणीत बरी आहेस, काहीही झालेलं नाहीये तुला.
या असं किती दिवस चालायचं रे बाबा?
तू बरी होईपर्यंत.
माझ्या जगण्यावर जसा माझा अधिकार आहे तसा माझ्या मरणावर का नाही?
मृत्यूचा निर्णय हा विवेकाची परीक्षा बघणारा निर्णय.
विचार करून मरणाच्या दारात जाणं ते चुकीचं उगाच वाटत तुम्हाला.
असं खाणं पिणं सोडण्यानं काही होत नसत.
विटंबना करू नका माझी.
तुझ्या हक्कासाठी लढू आपण.
माझी न्यायालयाला विनंती आहे, माझ्यासारख्या या आजारात थोर पडणाऱ्या रोग्यांना मरणाची सवलत द्यावी.
गावाला एक म्हातारी जड नाहीये.
इच्छा मरण मला बुद्धी न समजत, मनाला नाही उमजत.
कायद्यात दया मरणाची तरतूद नाही.
याचा दोष माझ्या माथी आयुष्यभर राहील.
Now that's a movie, but in real life, are these decisions much tougher? As I said, you're a son to a mother who's degenerating. What are the ethical dilemmas, and have you ever thought of this in real life and not just on the screen?
Actually, the film prompted me to think about it in real life. Before that, I never had an occasion where I should think about it. And I'm really overwhelmed right now to see it after a long time. But I think... It's about the right of the person
to decide.
Basically, to decide. No doctor, no relationship, no religion has any right to decide it. Of course, we have to see that the person is sane. There are doctors to decide it. And I think it has to be granted. It is as simple as that. Because the doctors are not going to decide. It is going to be a law. So the judge is going to decide depending on what the doctors or the panel is
so
going
to say.
So
case by case.
It is like a divorce.
Soli, is that even realistic given the backlog of cases in our courts? That's the problem. Who decides it? Is it time to introduce the concept of a living will? You know, I think Dr. Nagaraj, you have a living will. President Obama of America has a living will. A living will, while we are able to choose for ourselves, spells out what we would like if this were to happen to us.
There's a point when Reverend says, it's not in every case. It's not depression because of breaking up of marital relationship. I started by saying the basic condition is it must be unbearable suffering for over a period of time. Yeah. With the result that the life doesn't have any meaning. And the person doesn't say, have mercy on me.
Reverend Emmanuel, would you...
Cases won't take so long.
One line from the church's position because you think that it is conservative. Those whose lives are diminished or weakened deserve special respect. Sick or handicapped persons should be helped to lead lives as normal as possible.
But suppose now, Father, that's not possible. State of medical knowledge.
Precisely. In my last intervention, I already mentioned that the church holds that there is no need to take extraordinary means to save a life. Now, there can be a debate of what is an ordinary mean and what is not an ordinary mean. And I think you did mention in your last intervention.
That's what an individual is going to decide.
Now, here's my question. What if the individual can't decide? When the Supreme Court decided that passive euthanasia should be permitted in exceptional circumstances, this was the story and the tragedy of a nurse called Aruna Shanbagh. This is a woman who has not spoken or walked now for 38 years. The pictures are so horrifying that actually it kills you to even look at them. So I can see Soli, you're turning away. It's unbearable pain. That is Aruna Shanbagh there. In what seems to be a state of abject suffering, but being looked after there by the nurses of KEM Hospital. They've looked after her for more than a decade now.
That's humanity.
That's humanity.
That is humanity. That is real humanity, that when people are in suffering, I come out to show my concern for others.
Dr. Reverend Emmanuel, if you were Aruna, would you want to live like that?
I don't know.
Look at her.
No,
look at those pictures. Would you want to look like
that? Yes, if you take my position, yes, I would. Because we are taught that, yes, suffering is part of life. You cannot just wish away suffering. It's always a combination.
Let me get Dr. Pragna Pai. She was the dean of the KEM hospital. And Dr. Pai, the hospital took the position when this case went to the Supreme Court that you did not want euthanasia for Aruna Shanbhag. Now, I have to say that looking at those pictures of her just breaks your heart. I think you have to be inhuman to not just feel a complete internal collapse and a fear of your own vulnerability looking at what happened to her. Why did you want her to continue to suffer?
I was posted there for 10 years and I was a legal guardian and also emotional guardian.
Yeah.
And the picture at that time wasn't that bad. Aruna was responsive. She had the likes and dislikes. And therefore, she was not in the position to take any decision. I mean, once the decision-making abilities were whether I want to live or I want to die, she couldn't do that. So what we decided that she is in persistent vegetative state. Mm. She's not in coma, as some people describe her as.
Ma'am, you said once, like what Bernadine said today, that your prayers became about a natural death for her.
Yes.
Why?
Now, here one thing was that when she was alive and she was responsive, and she was not able to take decision. Plus, she didn't have any family members or any near and dear one to decide for her, on her behalf.
Yet the nurses of KEM, till yes. last year when the case was yes. decided in the yes. Supreme Court, said, Aruna is our baby. Now, here's a slightly complicated question with yes. no disrespect to the nurses who have looked after her. Sometimes it is those who look after people who find it tougher to let them go than what that person would have wanted
yes.
themselves.
Yes.
Is it our decision against what we would like if we were in their place?
No, I would say that she's not living, she's existing, just existing.
So why not euthanasia for her?
Passive euthanasia, yes, by not giving her anything active. And at least 10 years back, she was not being given any active medications. Suppose something goes wrong, she should not be given any assistance.
Okay. Meera Shiva, as somebody who has underlined again and again the need for the public healthcare system to deliver, now, here you actually do have somebody who's being looked after. Many people actually don't have that luxury. But yet, ma'am, you are cautious about allowing euthanasia. Why is that?
Yeah, because when you see, you know, thousands landing up in this condition where you don't have health workers appointed, you know, because the responsibility fell on Bernadine. We need health personnel of different levels. We have, our health budget is very, very inadequate. When people do not get 4 tablets of chloroquine and falciparum malaria with cerebral malaria, etc., many thousands land up in condition like that. That denial to me is a very, very serious concern. Here we are talking only about the very few who manage to reach hospitals who are even being taken care of. My second concern. Why are so many people, young and old, wanting to die? So if you see the suicide and the depression. Yeah. So this is happening when people want to take their lives, they're anyway taking their lives.
Yeah.
Why is this uncaring environment increasing? One more last
thing. I'll come back to you. Let me just get the two doctors, because we are going to meet a poor father who had 4 children suffering from muscular dystrophy, a degenerative disease. And he wrote to the president saying, please allow euthanasia for my children. Is this a case of the state failing to look after its poor? Or would somebody who had money also ask for the same? Dr. Nagaraj.
The ancient argument of slippery slope.
Yeah.
And that's why I was a little skeptical about even Aruna Shanbhag in earlier shows of, you know, just allowing her for euthanasia. But look at empirical evidence in Netherlands and so on and so forth. There is no evidence that the underprivileged or the deprived or have been knocked off the way, you know, that we're talking about slippery slope. The Dutch experience shows that there's no such evidence.
Dr. Rothke.
My entire responsibility is towards keeping that patient pain-free, suffering-free. And when I can't, to try and dissociate that.
So your emphasis would be on palliative care?
Palliative care.
More?
More. And a lot more. Palliative care at home.
But here, I keep coming back to the fact that what if there is nothing you can do to diminish suffering? Now, I have with me here, Jeet Narayan ji. Aap kahan rehte hain? Kaun se pradesh se hain aap?
Uttar Pradesh mein sabse dakshin Madhya Pradesh ke border par Mirzapur janpad hai hamara.
Acha. Aur aap kya karte hain, Jeet ji?
क्या करें, पहले तो कुछ कारोबार देहात में करते थे, अब 4 बच्चे हमारे अपाहिज हो गए।
चार बच्चे, इनके जो चार बच्चे हैं, his four children are suffering from muscular dystrophy. Jeet wrote to the president saying, please allow euthanasia for my children, and the president declined to permit this. Jeet ji, इसमें से आपका जो एक बच्चा था वो अब नहीं रहा.
नहीं, वो एक बच्चा खत्म हो गया.
लेकिन वो 22 साल की उम्र तक रहा.
जी
जी जी, आपने क्यों लिखा राष्ट्रपति को? आपकी क्या चाहते थे आप अपने बच्चों के लिए?
जब ये बीमारी मेरे बच्चों में हुई तो 7-8 साल के बाद दिखाई पड़ने लगा.
पहले सब ठीक ठाक,
पहले सब ठीक थे, पढ़ते थे, लिखते थे, दौड़ते थे, धूपते थे.
जी,
जैसे जैसे 8-9 साल की उम्र हुई वैसे धीरे धीरे कमजोर हुए. इसके बाद रीढ़ की हड्डी टेढ़ी होने लगी, वो पंजों पर खड़े होकर रेंगने लगे. कुछ दिनों बाद 10-11 साल के बाद एकदम बिस्तर पर आ जाते हैं वो. जैसे जैसे बच्चों की उम्र ऐसे होते गई, 1-2 हो गए, 2-3 हो गए, 3-4 हो गए. मैंने उनका काफ़ी इलाज कराया, इलाहाबाद, PGI, मिर्ज़ापुर, कई अस्पतालों में, कोई साधु संत के मठों में ले गए, कोई कहें कि चलो वहाँ बाबा के मठ पर ले जाएं. मैंने जो हमारे पास कुछ था पैसा कौड़ी सब उसी में विलीन कर
सब कुछ बेच दिया. आपके पास जो था
बेच दिया. जब मेरे पास कुछ नहीं रह गया तो पत्रक लिखा, मुख्यमंत्री को लिखा, प्रधानमंत्री को लिखा. कहीं से कोई सहायता नहीं मिला तो हमने राष्ट्रपति को लिखा कि मेरे पूरे परिवार को एक साथ मौत का सजा दे दिया जाए.
बच्चों को कि आप अपने आप को भी,
पूरे परिवार,
आप अपने आप को भी, सारे को.
जी जी जी, तो बच्चों मार कर हम क्या करेंगे, जिंदा रहेंगे? जब बच्चे मर जाएंगे तो हम क्या करेंगे? इसीलिए तो हम पहले बाप माँ और बच्चों को सब एक साथ मौत का सजा दिया जाए, या तो उनको जीने खाने का व्यवस्था किया जाए. चार बच्चे अपाहिज में, एक बच्चा सबसे छोटा है वो कक्षा 6 में पढ़ रहा है और बच्ची कक्षा 3 में पढ़ रही है. वो ठीक है, स्वस्थ है, उनको बीमारी नहीं है. अब हम बच्चों का सेवा करें कि उन बच्चों को पढ़ाएं लिखाएं, आज भी एक पैसे के मोहताज हो गए हैं.
किसी ने मदद की उसके बाद?
ऐसे 1,000, 2,000, 4,000 कोई मदद किया है और ऐसा मदद नहीं मिली हमको.
कितना पैसा लगता है देखभाल करने में?
देखभाल करने में उनको खान पान और जो बच्चे ठीक है उनको पढ़ाई लिखाई, कपड़ा ओढ़ना, यही सब व्यवस्था हो गया.
जो लोग कहते हैं कि जिंदगी सिर्फ भगवान ले सकता है, उनको आप क्या बोलेंगे?
तो हम क्या कहेंगे? हम तो शासन प्रशासन से मांग किए कि हमको कुछ मिले, मदद मिले, लेकिन अभी तक कुछ मदद मिला नहीं. कई पत्रिकाएं में निकला, पेपर.
डॉक्टर क्या कहते हैं?
डॉक्टर तो लाइलाज बताते हैं बीमारी
की, कोई मतलब इलाज नहीं है.
इलाज नहीं.
इट्स एक्चुअली रियली पेनफुल टू हियर दिस, एंड आई एम गोइंग टू जस्ट गेट वन कमेंट फ्रॉम सोली बिफोर आई टेक अ ब्रेक. What do you say to this man? Because it's so complicated, because he's poor, he can't afford to look after the children. Does he grab the years he has with them? Because there was a child who lived till 22, but did he live with dignity? On the other hand, are we saying that no person with a disability or a degenerative disease can live with dignity? That would also be a terrible thing to say.
Barka, case to case. If it is an instance where whatever the reason, maybe healthcare is not there, that's very bad. The reality is there's no health care by the state. The reality is he hasn't got, a person hasn't got the means to get the best medical treatment. Even if he has the means, the best medical treatment at that time is of the view, bona fide, reasonable view, that it won't make any difference, there's no cure.
It's a progressive genetic condition.
No, I don't
can
think these are, firstly, a lot of the children are underage, which means they cannot give consent. Informed consent.
So you would not support euthanasia?
No, these not these people, not at all.
Yeah.
They don't come under the ambit of euthanasia.
But you know what they highlight? They highlight the abject inability of our healthcare system.
We are addressing the wrong.
Please listen to me. Euthanasia shall not be linked to organ donation.
Yeah.
It shall not be linked to financial status.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. The moment you recommend euthanasia for a situation like this, especially with the underage, then you're just down there.
I think we're all agreeing that financial constraints cannot ever be linked to any kind of euthanasia, because that would just be suicide. But at the same time, this is a tragedy that our platitudes will not comfort. Where is our state? Where is our public healthcare system? We're taking a break. We're taking all your questions. Also, a story of hope on the other side. The story of a young man who actually recovered from 95% burns to come back to a new life. Coming with that story and your questions after the break.
We the People today is the right to die with dignity part of the right to life. Before we return to our panel, let's hear from the audience. We have here somebody who spent his life as a caregiver, the palliative care that patients in the last stages need. Mr. Hamza, your view.
My point is that the care is a right of the person from the society. The society needs to be sensitized. So that when the society is there for you, the patient will not be asking for the euthanasia. Where he is asking for the euthanasia means it's a lament for help.
That's interesting because Bernadine, you have Hamza here who seems to think that if people had caregivers, they would not want euthanasia. But in your experience, that was not true, right?
In fact, I beg to differ since I'm also a social worker. And you do find people who are bedridden. You think about it when you're lying on that bed and you've lost all your bodily movements.
And Bernadette,
and somebody walks in to clean you. You still have...
And sorry to interrupt you, but you have an aunt also now. You're grappling with another tragedy. You
have
an aunt who's
terminally ill with cancer. And she's at Shanti Avedna in Bombay.
Which is a hospice.
Yeah, it's a hospice.
And you decided you couldn't provide her that care at home.
No, we couldn't.
And that
so
is
this
also
kind of this kind of situation, not being judgmental, but this is a normal everyday situation in every hospital. Somebody cleaning you, cleaning up the patient is a daily thing.
No, but I think this is a completely different issue.
Yes.
I mean, even if the example from a film is that here is a son, there is a daughter-in-law, and there is doctors and all that helping the mother.
Yeah.
But there is a very interesting scene in the film when the psychiatrist, he comes and he tells her, no, no, you should fight and all that. There is one very good line. The mother says, ki roz tujhe konitari dhungan dhu de mag tula kalel, which means that let someone clean you every day, your private parts, and then you would know why I'm asking for my death. So it is not about caring.
So you're saying don't undermine that sentiment. Reverend Emmanuel is saying that in terms of what the awful things are that can happen to you, this is not so awful. That's what he's saying. You're saying you don't agree, Atul.
And this is a common thing that happens every day in the hospital.
But we do need to understand that the level of palliation and care has to go up.
Which is what Hamza was saying.
It's a completely different issue. Even if the care goes up, there could be a person who would say that I don't want the care.
Can I just get a question here? Yeah.
What does euthanasia mean for doctors? I mean, once it's legalized, we'll be forced to go through with it, whether or not our conscience allows. And what if we euthanize someone today and 2 years later a cure comes out? I'll probably spend the rest of my life feeling like a murderer.
Nagraj, do you want to respond to that?
Okay. See, look, I mean, even the doctors have the right to refuse to commit euthanasia. And it's harrowing. It's not something that you do routinely. I was in Melbourne with Derek Humphrey, who wrote My Final Exit, and he was narrating how harrowing it is to even do that.
Let's get a question here from another doctor.
I'm a surgical oncologist, and we all see these patients who, who've failed one, two, three, or four lines of chemotherapy. And now you know that there is a certain point of time when, you know, there is nothing that you can do. When we talk of passive euthanasia, we should also look at the time at when you would want to bring in passive euthanasia.
So what would you support?
Passive euthanasia, you have to decide, do you want to put that patient on the ventilator? Economics of the thing also has to be discussed here. You're going to put the patient in ICU for a month. You must. There is an interesting statistic that the amount of money that you spent for a patient in the ICU for 1 month actually can educate a person up to the age of 18.
Now here's an interesting thing, because we decided in the earlier segments, Meera Shiva and Soli Surabji, that we were not going to link financial constraints with the euthanasia debate. But you have a doctor here who's saying that actually sometimes when somebody is not going to survive, are you wasting crucial resources? It's not my view, it's an argument being made here. Meera Shiva.
Yeah. No, I think the point that is being made is extremely valid, because now medicalization of old age and people being kept in ICU. So there is a point where peacefully people can be allowed to go. But
no family will agree, ma'am.
No family.
I can tell you, if the doctor told me there's nothing you can do, till the end we would say, please keep him there, please keep him there, maybe.
The family should be more responsible.
Can any family be more responsible?
They have to be.
Okay, I'll get your thoughts.
No,
yes, Meera.
My point is, you medicalize childbirth, you medicalize old age, you medicalize everything, huh? So the decision has to be taken by the family. But like for me, for myself, if I'm in a condition, I say I would believe for myself in euthanasia. But to take a decision for somebody else, that I have totally...
Okay, but Soli, do you...
No, I wanted to say something about the Mirzapur thing. because those children had muscular dystrophy.
Jeet's children.
Yes,
yeah.
Bhaiya. So, and this is muscular dystrophy of muscles, not brain damage. They know what's going on. So euthanasia and those conditions, why is physiotherapy not available? Why are some, and you need workers of that level, numerous, in villages everywhere, so that they can live a somewhat productive life.
Soli, to the point being made here that economics of it do have to be considered. Do you agree?
Suppose a patient himself or herself realizes this. It's a great strain on my family members.
But is that a good reason?
No, 1 minute. Not single isolated reason. And as I said, the pain is excruciating. And surely are there not cases where doctors can really say we have tried?
You're talking of economics.
Please do not link money with euthanasia. And the best, I'm trying to tell you, best doctor is he who knows when to stop. And
but this is the point, that the families will not take those patients out of the hospital.
You've got to discuss with them. And there are various guidelines.
I think, Barkha, there is a very important point here for the youngsters who are going to be old and they might suffer from such diseases and they might also have parents. So here you can write down that in such and such a case, no assistance required. And the responsibility lies with the family, the decision makers, to grant the wish of the person.
Okay.
They should not
Give me a sec, one line to you, sir.
I would say that you should ask young people to write that I am ready to serve people who are suffering.
It's a completely different point.
It is not about serving. That is what I'm saying.
Is it either or? There are people who commit themselves to serving.
If you are offering me services and if I don't want the services, what do you have to say?
Can I just get a question?
I don't want the services. I want to die.
Because you are in depression. You are in depression.
No, sir. Somebody suffering from a terminal illness is not clinically depressed. I think those are two different things. Let's just get a question.
No. There are doctors to decide who is depressed and who is not.
Atul and Dr. Reverend Emmanuel. Ma'am, your question.
It's only in oncology, in cancer patients, where we can clearly define that there is an end point beyond which salvage is not possible. But in all other conditions, where the families let them down, the state has let them down, they don't have any proper access to the healthcare. In those cases, I think these laws have a large potential to be abused.
I think that's very well said. I mean, there's a huge balance in that account. But Jeet ji, main aapse puchna chahungi ki agar aapke paas agar dekhbhal karne ke liye paise hote to nahi aap aise chitthi likhte rashtrapati ko?
Rashtrapati ko chitthi humko majboori mein likhna pada. Humko raat din karah karna pad raha hai, unka seva karna pad raha hai. Ek baar pishab lagi ek ladke ko, turat so rahe hain, uthenge turat. Dusra ladka humko tatti lagi hai. Sara din sari raat hum unhi ke seva mein bilin hain, to unko khilayenge pilayenge. और जो लड़का सही है उनको पढ़ाएंगे लिखाएंगे कैसे?
तो पैसा होता
तो
अलग बात
होती. घर रहते हैं हम, उनका सेवा करते हैं और जो बच्चे ठीक हैं.
So it's not exactly, this is not a circumstance for euthanasia. This is a failure of public health care. Your question.
Yeah, I'm a doctor at AIIMS. As a person in a public setup, if I have 8 beds in the ICU, I have one patient who's on ventilator on that bed, whom I know in my present knowledge I cannot resuscitate, whatever the cause might be, I cannot. And there, otherwise, in the emergency, without a ventilator, I have a patient having malaria. I know if I intervene right now, I can save that patient. Yeah. This is a choice I have to make. And in this setup, I'm not saying this should be the reason for euthanasia, but let's be practical. We don't have options.
This is coming up again and again, that doctors are feeling that there are people who've reached the end stage and those resources could be used to save somebody else. But yes, Dr. Pai, yeah.
It is said that today the practice of medicine is pregnant with comedy of unnecessary treatment for a few affording and tragedy of no treatment for those who can't afford.
Yes. But there is a young man here who says, why can't we? For a question here.
I'm a practicing gynecologist and I support conditional passive euthanasia in rarest of rare cases. But if there is a mentally retarded patient's mother who comes and says, and my daughter is subjected to incestuous rape day in and day out, and I have terminated her pregnancy several times and she says iski zindagi ka koi bacha nahi hai, isko maar dijiye, then I can't do that. Person does not have the merit.
Well, I think we are clear that social injustice, depression, that kind of suffering cannot become the cause for any of these choices. Let's take a question here first.
Yeah, I have 2 points. The first is about a living will. The moment a person is in a situation when his life is threatened or in a near-death experience, the value for life increases.
Yes.
I signed a living will saying, please let me die at that point in time. But when I'm dying, I want to live more. What about that case?
I want to take this to Dr. Nagaraj because you have a living will.
No, there are a couple of things. Whenever your living will is like any other will, and you can revoke it at any point of time.
Yes. But you may not be conscious enough at that point.
No, well, if that's why you make the living will. If you're not conscious, how can you say that now I won't live? Obviously, if you're not conscious, you're not making those decisions.
Okay, we've heard so many depressing stories. So let's hear a little bit of hope. We often say that we know sometimes when it's over. But what if we don't? I have here with me the parents of a young boy who suffered 95% burns, Manoj Rana. And I have his parents here. Aur Jeet ji, aap bataiye ki Manoj ka fire accident hua. He was a student in the United States of America. He had an accident, 95% unke burns the. Yes. Coma mein bhi the wo?
Four mahine coma.
So he was in coma for 4 months, 95% burns. आपने लेकिन कभी हिम्मत नहीं हारी
बिल्कुल
आप जरा बताइए कि उस समय कभी आपको लगा कि ये तो कभी ठीक नहीं होंगे डॉक्टर्स ने आपको ऐसा बोला
नहीं डॉक्टर ने नहीं बोला उन्होंने बोला कि मतलब ये ठीक होगा ये ठीक हो जाएगा उन्होंने ये कभी नहीं बोला और हमने भी हिम्मत नहीं हारी आखिरी समय तक कि ये ठीक नहीं होगा
आप माँ हैं आपके लिए बहुत मुश्किल हुआ होगा ऐसे मनोज को देखना तो कभी हिम्मत नहीं हारी
नहीं
अच्छा जीत जी मनोज ने 3 साल मैंने कहीं पढ़ा ही वोर अ फेस मास्क फॉर 3 years ही वॉज इन द कंप्यूटर ट्रेड एंड ही लॉस्ट द यूज ऑफ वन ऑफ हिज फिंगर्स सो ही सेड आई डू एन एमबीए आई डू समथिंग एल्स इंस्टेड ही जस्ट केप्ट फाइटिंग मनोज जी कभी जैसे यहाँ बातचीत चल रही है कि जिंदगी बदल जाती है जैसे लगता है कि कोमा में है लोग कभी नहीं सुधरेंगे तो उस समय यूथनेजिया अलाउ करना चाहिए पैसे मर्सी किलिंग अलाउ इस पे बारे में आपने कभी सोचा मनोज के लिए ऐसा
नहीं कभी नहीं सोचा मैंने कि उसको ये चीज़ मिलनी चाहिए या उसके साथ ऐसा होना चाहिए मैंने बिल्कुल नहीं सोचा कभी भी आखिरी दम तक सेवा करना उसको बचाना डॉक्टर को भी कहना यही है कि आखिरी दम तक हमारा प्रयास है बाकी तो कुछ कहा भी
उनकी जिंदगी में क्या बदला 4 महीने तक तो वो कोमा थे हुए थे ना कोई बातचीत नहीं कर पाए
नहीं
तो आप उनसे बात करते थे वो रिस्पॉन्ड करते थे उस समय
नहीं कोमा में जब
नहीं
बात लेकिन डॉक्टरों ने हमसे कहा कि आप इनसे बात जरूर करो आप जिस तरह की भी आप घरेलू किसी तरह की भी बात करो हो सकता है कि ये सुन रहे हो ये जवाब नहीं दे पाए इनका दिमाग काम कर रहा हो ये सारी चीज़ें आप इनसे जरूर करते रहो हमेशा तो ज़्यादातर उसकी मम्मी उसके साथ रही थी क्योंकि बच्चे को मम्मी पर ज़्यादा विश्वास है ज़्यादा प्यार है सब कुछ है तो ज़्यादातर ये रही थी वहाँ
पर मनोज ने कहा शायद एक बारी कि मुझे ऐसे नहीं जीना लेकिन फिर लड़ के जी लिए लेकिन आपको एक बारी बोला था ना कि मुझे ऐसे नहीं जीना हाँ क्या बोला
कोमा से बाहर आए तब तो उसको खड़ा नहीं हुआ जा रहा था तो डॉक्टरों ने बोला कि इसको खड़ा करो किसी भी तरह इसकी बॉडी सुकड़नी शुरू हो गई है तो उसको 5 दिन तक वहाँ पे थेरेपिस्ट वगैरह आते रहे उसको खड़ा करने के लिए उससे खड़ा नहीं होया जाता था उसको पकड़ के उठाते तो उसको इतना बल बैठता था बहुत ज़्यादा तो बोला कि मम्मी मेरे को नहीं जीना मेरे को इंजेक्शन लगवा दो और आप इंडिया वापस लौट जाओ मैंने उसको बोला मगर नहीं बेटा ऐसे नहीं बोलते क्योंकि और मेरा क्या करेगी मैं तुझे बेड पर लिटा के रख लूँगी गोद में रख लूँगी पर ऐसे मत बोल क्योंकि मम्मी एक बात बता मैं कहा कि कहते हैं सरस्वती जीप पे बैठती है 24 घंटे में एक बार मैं कहा हाँ बेटा अब मैं ये बोलूँगा उससे कि हे भगवान मुझे उठा ले हे भगवान मुझे उठा ले मैं कहा नहीं बेटा अच्छी बात बोल क्योंकि नहीं वो अच्छी नहीं सुनेगी मेरी मैं यही बोलूँगा और 3 घंटे तक ऐसे ही रोता रहा बोलता रहा मैं भी बहुत रोती रही पर नहीं चुप हुआ फिर मैंने एक नर्स को फ़ोन किया उसने उसको समझाया फिर मैंने उसके दोस्तों को फ़ोन किया मगर बेटा इसे समझाओ ये रोए जा रहा है चुप नहीं हो रहा बिल्कुल भी कि मुझे
कितने साल की बात है
ये उसका एक्सीडेंट हुआ था 2005 में 2 जुलाई को
अब अच्छी खबर ये है क्योंकि मुझे पता है बहुत डिस्टर्ब्ड है कि आज वो बिल्कुल ठीक है
हाँ
है ना ये भी कहना जरूरी है ना अब हंस लीजिए ये भी कहना जरूरी है
यू मस्ट रियलाइज हियर दैट डॉक्टर्स नेवर एवर सेड दैट ही वाज टर्मिनल ओके 95% वेरी हाई प्रोबेबिलिटी एज शी राइटली
सेड बट गुड डॉक्टर्स इन सम अदर पार्ट ऑफ द वर्ल्ड वुड हैव सेड दैट
एंड इट्स अ वेरी ब्यूटीफुल स्टोरी आई एम वेरी हैप्पी ही इज डूइंग वेरी वेल बट लेट मी टेल यू समथिंग व्हेन यू डिसाइड समथिंग ऑन आउटलायर्स दैट इज होप Yeah. When you decide something on the median, that's a rational optimism. And we live and we ought to live with rational optimism and not hope.
Okay, rational optimism as distinct from hope. I have to start ending slowly. Last word to you. Yeah.
Can there not be a case where in spite of, forget financial, you can afford financial means has it, rare cases, but a case where you can say, I don't think we can do anything.
But that's what the doctors would have said here.
No. There's burns. There was oncology. Are there not cases, doctors, where you can see despite best treatment, whatever we do again, you get drugs from America, Germany, whatever.
So all the time. So, all the time.
So is there in that rare exceptional case where you come to the conclusion that anything further we can do will not really help him?
At that point, my obligation is to make sure the patient is not in pain, not in suffering, and dissociate the pain from the mind, because the mind feels the pain.
We'll take one question.
I'd like to say something. I'm referring to the doctors here. I'm a psychologist. There's one thing I wish to tell you. Have you heard of Stephen Hawking's?
Yes.
Quadriplegic.
Yes.
The brain works. Whatever he thinks comes on a machinery. And if that is the impact, are we lacking technology in our country? Medical assistances, X, Y, Z, I agree. What about technology? If we did not have Stephen Hawking, then probably we didn't have the best of the scientists in the countries, in the world.
I think it's a great question. It's a great question to actually end with. Is India being pushed towards, or are people being pushed towards option because of a lack of resources and a lack of technology?
And caring.
And a lack of caring.
No, I don't think so. These are two different issues. Euthanasia is a highly defined issue of terminally ill patients who are not depressed and who seek to express their autonomy. So this please delink, and there are set guidelines. Please read Oregon and Dutch guidelines, then most of your questions will be answered, and probably most of you will not ask the kind of questions.
Okay. We have to, unfortunately, on this complex subject, we have to end today on the note that we don't yet know the answers, but what is for sure is that there is human suffering, and then there is the suffering that is delivered because people don't have access to care, they don't have access to health care, and at least those are battles that we can fight on terra firma, even if we continue to ask questions of who's above and why we suffer. Thank you very much. Thanks for watching.